Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
You have the opportunity to go out there and get an insurance policy. If you flip those stones and you think Leonard Fournette is a guy that you trust enough, it could end up being genius if something was to happen to David Johnson. I think it's an insurance policy for injury this year.
Yeah.
I think it's an insurance policy for the position long term. If David Johnson doesn't work out and you end up having to split ways with him, it's a great option to have.
Clint Sterner laid out a case. John McClain, do you agree with Clint Sterner that Leonard Fournette should be an option for the 2020 Houston Texans?
Absolutely not. They're trying to get rid of turds, not Adam.
You know what? That reminds me of something. What is it with Leonard Fournette off the football field? It's got to be something, right?
Obviously, they don't like his attitude. Remember, they penalized him by taking away his guaranteed money because of his actions. You know, if you just look on the field, he's been productive. They tried to trade him. Doug Marrone said they tried every team. Nobody was able to give anything for him. You could get him today for $4 million on waivers, but I'll be surprised if anybody does that. A lot of these guys have off-the-field issues that we know some about, some that we don't. But the teams do. And so just because a guy's done productive, when you're one of the first things that Bill O'Brien always talks about with everybody, good guy, team guy, hard worker, And I don't think anybody has ever said that about Fournette.
John McClain joining us here on In the Loop. So to summarize, hell no to Leonard Fournette possibly being a Houston Texan.
Not unless they want to change. You know, say they claimed him or signed him, I would say, now, Bill, every time we ask you about a player, you say, good guy, good team guy, hard worker. Nobody's ever said that about Fournette, so why did you bring him in?
Right.
And I don't, because he goes against everything that they're trying to stand for. I know they like David Johnson. I know they like Duke Johnson. If Fournette were to come here and be disruptive behind the scenes, he's played for a loser his whole career. And so I don't see him doing it. Maybe they will. I just don't see it.
You know, the interesting thing with Fournette is I think half of it, you know, maybe more than half, but I think half of it is on the field. He's not what we thought he was going to be. He needs a couple of strides to get started. He's not real good at breaking tackles as big as he is. I mean, that's as much as anything, isn't it?
I think when you consider where he was drafted, John, he should have been a lot more productive. And they have worked to put pieces in front of him in their offensive line. And he hasn't been what they wanted. And for whatever reason, you know, if they're trying to tank to get Trevor Lawrence, there's a lot of things they could still do. But starting with your leading rusher, and I don't think the rest of the guys they have at running back total have only a few more carries than Fournette has in his career. So I'm sure somebody will give him a chance. You know, I assume at some point that Thomas is going to get a job with a team that needs a safety. But right now, it doesn't look good when you get cut because of things going on behind the scenes. That's never good.
Help me understand then the running back situation for the Houston Texans if, let's say, David Johnson or Duke Johnson goes down. Because I'm looking at this depth chart, and it's obvious that Duke Johnson, they like to pair him with somebody else. That's why they brought in Carlos Hyde last year. He's kind of one of those guys. David Johnson, they've described him as a three-down back, so we'll see how he's used. Help me out if one of these guys go down, Duke Johnson or David Johnson, as to what the running back depth chart is going to look like and who we're going to see on the field getting carries along with the previously mentioned guys.
It's just, excuse me, it's just like last season. They had Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson. Duke was on for 40, in the low 40% of the snaps. Carlos was on for the high 40s. And then Tywan Jones got a few more. Tywan Jones was the third back because he was a really good receiver. And he was there because he's a good special teams player. Yeah.
All right. Well, might have lost the connection
kinda,
there. But
kind of glad. Because
just takes a second.
I'm kind of glad because, honestly, trying to sell me on this running back group behind Duke and David Johnson is damn near impossible.
There you go. You're back, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Buddy Howell would be the third back. Last year it was Tywan Johnson. Every time Buddy gets a chance in a preseason game last year, or I watch him in practice, he's a big back. He just looks like a back. He's on the team because he's a great special teams player, but he would be the third back right now. Caron Higdon would be four. So they're going in just like they did last year. Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson, David Johnson and Duke Johnson, and they will – probably, I'm guessing David Johnson will get like 55% and Duke Johnson would get 45% because barring injury, there'd be no reason to bring in a third guy. But since they don't need a third back who's a receiver because Johnson and Johnson are great receivers.
I guess that's my concern because you look at Duke Johnson, he hasn't missed a game in 5 years and only one time he's had over 100 carries. And that was his rookie season when he had 104. So you're telling me that Duke Johnson's going to be sharing carries with Caron Higdon and Tywan Jones. And I know in the past, this is the reason I bring this up. In the past, you could call a guy on Tuesday and he could be on the field on Sunday and he could be carrying the rock. But in this situation, it just seems like there's more of a process to getting those guys in there. So if you tell me that Tywan Jones and Caron Higdon are one play away from getting carries that matter for the Texans, that just kind of that kind of worries me a little bit.
Tywan Jones went to Buffalo, and
Caron Higdon.
I didn't
mean Tywan Jones. I meant Buddy Howell. I meant Buddy Howell. Yeah,
but yeah, Buddy would be three. Duke Johnson, who people think of Duke as being small. Duke's 210 pounds. He's bigger than a lot of backs that are in the Hall of Fame. And so Duke would be the number one guy, and Buddy Howell would move up to number two.
Wow.
Today you can't sign a guy off the street on Tuesday and suit him up Wednesday.
That's what I'm saying.
Those days are over.
Yeah. That's why it's scary to think about Buddy Howell getting significant carries for the Texans in games that count. I don't know. I hope he proves me wrong. God knows Tywan Jones did in that Buffalo game. It just seems it doesn't seem like they have that thumper that on third and one they're just going to hand the rock to and just run it up the gut.
Well, David Johnson, 228 pounds, and he runs between the tackles. That's his specialty, catches outside, so he'd be the
specialty?
Guy. Duke, that's his specialty, yeah.
Running it between
Duke
the tackles?
Yeah. You haven't seen practice how much he runs between the tackles. And then, of course, he catches outside. David Johnson's not a scat back. You know, he's a big guy who can make plays all over the field. But, yeah, just like Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde, he'll be going through the tackles a lot.
Well, if David Johnson's specialty is running between the tackles, then I'll take your word for it. I'm more excited than I was. I thought he was more of a receiver, go outside. I know he's got size, but I just never thought of him as like a between-the-tackles type of guy. I'm excited now to see him in 9 days.
John? Well, good. I'm finally glad we got you excited about David Johnson.
I'm pumped. Hey,
I'm not
that's
as excited.
Been a long, I am been not a long mountain to climb.
I am
there.
Not as excited about David Johnson rushing the ball, but you knew that already, John. So we won't go there. What's interesting, though, is coming into camp, part of this whole backfield, team. You know, David Johnson, Duke Johnson, Buddy Howell. Part of it was Cullen Gillespie too, and he's been nowhere. I mean, how does that affect just what their plans were coming out of the backfield?
Well, Gillespie is a fullback. He gets on the field about 20% of the time. He is their fullback. He's been hurt. I expect him to go on injured reserve. He's missed all of camp, and then he'd miss three games. Then he could be activated, and if they need a fullback, they'll take a tight end and put him back there. But I think under Tim Kelly, they're not going to be using a fullback very much. Of course, Gillespie is really a really good special teams player, but they got a lot of good special teams players.
All right. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us here on In the Loop. So you didn't think Gillespie, even with the injury, was going to be a big part of the offensive plan?
No, there's no fullback part of an offensive plan anymore in the NFL, a big part. They're a part, but not a big part.
I mean, he obviously has had his moments on the field, including one of the best blocks, biggest blocks of the year on Deshaun Watson's run.
Yep, he did. Remember the game against Buffalo, he made some of his best plays.
But I guess what I'm asking about, weren't they considering him, using him more, like out of the backfield as a receiver as well?
Yeah, I don't know why they would when they got the Johnsons, who are great receivers. So I would imagine Colin Gillespie, when he plays, will be put in certain formations to be the lead blocker because that's what he's best at. Whether they run the ball or not, or just do a play fake thinking people are going to say, okay, the fullback's in there, they're going to run the ball. Because that's why he's primarily on the team as a lead blocker and especially really good on coverages on special teams.
You talked about them working on a deal with Deshaun Watson, talking to John McClain 9 days away from Texans versus Chiefs, and obviously they got the deal done with Cunningham. Is Will Fuller just kind of a let's see how this plays out type of thing? Because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent as well. They're just going to kind of see if he can stay healthy and just let that play out, right?
Exactly. There's no way they could justify giving him a big contract with his injury history. And, even if he plays 16 games this year and maybe he's turned a corner on the injuries because he explained to us how he's done different things working with his private guy. And so we'll see, hopefully for Will's sake and the Texans, that he is healthy for 16 games. I think we all believe that if Will Fuller's healthy for 16 games, he's going to be a big-time receiver.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Could Jack Easterby and King Bill be getting extensions soon? World famous McClain leg hiking next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, it's time to get world famous McClain leg hiking here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. All right, Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien within the next year will get contract extensions, just like the Chief Shot Callers just did.
Both of them, no. Hike it.
It's interesting because they are a tandem. Leonard Fournette will be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
No, the Steelers are all about trying to get good people. Here's something Terry Rubisky, longtime coach, running back coach of the Jaguars, said today. It had nothing to do with him not producing. Well, that's an even worse indictment
right.
for Fournette off the field.
Right.
Let me go back to one of my journalism mentors. Let me just go back a second. John Lopez apparently just breezing over a natural follow-up. I don't know what's going on with my man here. So what do you mean by both of them? No, which one would likely get an extension without the other getting an extension within the last year?
Well, I believe Jack Easterby, signed a three-year contract. So he's his second year. I could see him getting an extension before his runs out. Bill's got 2 years left. So I could see him, if he were going to get it next year, not this year.
So they match up is essentially what you're saying.
Well, I don't know how much they would extend them, but right now, Easterby, I believe, unless I'm wrong, has 1 year left.
The Houston Astros will win their division.
Hike it, Figgy. Hike it real high. The A's are going to win the division. The A's will have to win the trading deadline. The Astros were not.
Bernardrick McKinney is playing his last year with the Texans under his current contract.
Hike it, Figgy. He's already signed one extension, I think. Man, hold on. I got to go drink some water.
Yeah, you got to hydrate, essentially.
Man.
James Harden will not hit a shot in the final minute of tomorrow's game.
The odds are he won't. But I'm a confident guy. I'm sure they'll let him touch the ball in the end this time instead of Westbrook throwing it away. So hike it, Figgy. I think he'll touch it, and he might even make the shot.
We're going to bring in our guy Clint Sterner for this one. This was Clint Sterner yesterday on Clint and the Show. We're going to play what Clint had to say about Leonard Fournette's. John McClain, you then either hike the leg or agree with Hot Fudge.
You have the opportunity to go out there and get an insurance policy. If you flip those stones and you think Leonard Fournette is a guy that you trust enough, it could end up being genius if something was to happen to David Johnson. I think it's an insurance policy for injury this year.
Yeah.
I think it's an insurance policy for the position long term. If David Johnson doesn't work out and you end up having to split ways with him, it's a great option to have.
Let me finish this gallon of water. Hold on. Let me stand.
All right.
Okay, Figgy, hike it high.
Oh, feels better. Gerrit Cole will have no better than a 500 record.
Hike it. That guy's good. The Yankees. You know the Astros are better than the Yankees right now?
Yeah,
I think the Yankees will turn it around. Stanton and Judge are supposed to be back, so I think he'll have a better than 500 record.
Yeah, Yankees have had a hell of a, and I mean hell of a lot of injuries. Chris Paul has larger coconuts than James Harden.
Oh, I'm not going to say that just because Paul played great last night. No, hike it, Figgy. Man, my legs get sore.
Yeah, it is.
You guys are killing
me. All right. Hey, hang in there. Keep drinking. Dabo Swinney will be the next Jacksonville Jaguars head coach.
Have we ever seen anything that made us think Swinney's an idiot? I haven't. Hike it, Figgy.
The Rockets will win Game 7 tomorrow.
Man, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Don't know why. I'm just tired of hiking.
Gotta go. Eric Bieniemy will be the next Jacksonville Jaguars head coach.
There's a real good chance of that because he's one of the top assistants out there. Chiefs will continue to win. But if I'm Eric Bieniemy, why would I want to go somewhere that has a tradition of losing? So I'm going to say hike it. He'll have a better offer than the Jaguars.
NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us leg hiking here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. John, what's coming up in the Chronicle? Give us something good.
I got no energy left. There y'all just check out TexasSportsNation.com, please.
What about the TV show? We got to hear about the TV show. I saw you on TV at about 10:30 the other
Texas
night.
Texas Sports Nation, Sundays, about 11 o'clock on KPRC.
Get some Pedialyte, John.
He's worn out.
Gatorade. I need it. Thanks, guys.
All right, there we go. John McClain with us here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It is interesting. Just what went down yesterday with the Houston Rockets. If you just blended in the stereotypes and the tendencies of the three best players on the court yesterday in the fourth quarter when it's crunch time, you had Chris Paul, fearless as hell, slapping guys on the ass after he ties up games.
That was a big time move right there.
You had Russell Westbrook taking over while another superstar sits in the corner, a la when he and Durant were together. 7 turnovers for Russell Westbrook. And you had James Harden just kind of disappearing, floating around as Russell Westbrook was throwing those turnovers.
I mean, it was one of those moments where you understand where the reputations come from. James Harden, if you weren't listening earlier, I mentioned this stat that just blew me away. I had to dig in and make sure it was right. That since 1997, 23 years, is the worst in the NBA in tying or go-ahead shots in the final minute of a game. Russell Westbrook is the second worst. But that's incredible. Because it's not like they haven't had opportunities. I mean, these two guys have been in a lot of playoff games and a lot of games where they've had a chance to make the big shot at the end. Remember when I talked about the Luka moment? You know, that he had that as a 21-year-old, putting a team on his back, hitting the big shot, making, 43-17-11 or something like that. And James Harden is one of the premier players, one of the best players in NBA history. But to go 2-for-17 in the final minute of games, that's where that reputation comes from. And that's what's going to be on the line tomorrow night.
Whose ass is on the line tomorrow night?
D'Antoni's, Maury's.
It's James Harden's because then he's going to have to just listen to
but
all this.
But he ain't going nowhere. No, I'm talking about anywhere. As far as their jobs. Do you think there's any way that Daryl Morey gets fired?
I mentioned this to you. No, Daryl Morey won't get fired. I think he needs to be held more accountable, but people like him. So it goes to show he's a case study in good media relations, gives you a lot of rope. I texted this to you guys before the show. Anyway, and I've seen this. I'm not just pulling this out of thin air. I've seen this on social media, especially Twitter, in the last 24 hours. If you think Mike D'Antoni is coaching for his job tomorrow night, then he's already lost his job. You know, he shouldn't have to be coaching for his job tomorrow night. If you think that, then he's already lost his job. And so I think they've already made a decision on D'Antoni one way or the other, no matter what happens tomorrow. I think Daryl Morey probably should be held more accountable for this team never really getting over the hump. Now, we could all be proved wrong. They win game seven and then sweep the rest of the way and win a championship.
Okay.
I'm just saying to this point.
Let me check on LeBron real quick.
Yeah.
The rested LeBron.
I'm just saying to this point, that's where those reputations come from. Daryl Morey needs to be held more accountable. James Harden has earned that reputation in the clutch, sadly. And Mike D'Antoni should not have to be coaching for his job no matter what.
He probably is, though. And they're going to be facing a very, very healthy and rested LeBron James.
I can tell.
Look at that rest. It's a little bit crazy. I think it's funny how somehow this comes back to Mike D'Antoni as if basketball coaches draw up plays between every bucket and everything like that. And they say, hey, get it to so-and-so. No, it's a game of flow, and it's a game of choice, and you can demand the rock when you want the rock. Very seldom do you just give the ball to James Harden and say, go out there and figure this out. He goes out there and gets it. So Harden didn't want the rock yesterday, period. Like, we can sit here and we can sugarcoat it, and he did not want the rock yesterday, because I can assure you that if he wanted the rock, he would have said, Russ, give me the rock, and Westbrook would have given him the rock. James Harden didn't want it. Mm-hmm. And that's been a criticism on James Harden, that when push comes to shove, when it's time for those Luka moments, that he doesn't want it. And yesterday, two guys on that court wanted it. Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook probably shouldn't have wanted it, but Chris Paul wanted it, and he instilled his will with James Harden. And this is the problem when you talk about evaluating Daryl Morey. If James Harden truly doesn't want it in those situations, if he truly would rather just sit on the side and watch someone else work out in coconut cutting time, they should have never, ever, 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 under any circumstance, ever, 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 traded Chris Paul. Because that is the perfect guy that to want it when the other guy does not want it. If James Harden doesn't want it, the Chris Paul trade was an absolute disaster.
And it's not as if, you know, James Harden cannot get the ball whenever he wants. I mostly agree with you. I think sometimes, you know, a player can try to just make the right play in the clutch, but coaches will always tell you, you don't call plays in the final minutes of games, you call players. You got to get the ball in his hands. I don't know if he didn't want it, he just didn't get it, or he just tried to make the right play, but it just didn't happen, and that's why we are where we are. He's got that reputation for a reason.
John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. 9 days away from KC, the Chiefs put a cap on their elite offseason. Could Chris Paul get someone fired tomorrow? Plus, the Astros' former star pitcher is broken, and I mean broken, and it's pitiful and amusing. We'll hear from him next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're 9 days away from Texans versus Chiefs. Texans starting to make cuts. They need a third quarterback. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about making those tough decisions, putting red tags on lockers.
The whole league has to get down to 53 by, I think, 3 o'clock Central Time on Saturday the 5th. So, you know, we'll probably, you know, use all of that time, but we'll begin to start chipping away here.
They don't still do the red tags on lockers. I don't think they ever did. I think that was just from the movie Major League. But the decisions will be made on Saturday, and that's really where
guys start to get cut from other teams, and maybe that's when you start the process of bringing them in, which is longer these days than it was in times past.
It is going to be an interesting. There are going to be surprises, and the reason I know that is because there are every year. Even in a case like this, and this year, where you know the rosters are going to be different, you're just going to have to stick with a lot of the guys you know, because you're not going to have a lot of tape on other people. You're not going to have preseason games to maybe make some decisions to bring in someone from another team. So I still think even then there's going to be some surprises. And certainly the front line players with the Texans are pretty much set, but that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some big shock.
Zach Cunningham will be on the team. He will not get cut on
Saturday. I think
he'll
make it. I think he's got his chance.
That is some breaking news. New 4-year, $58 million deal for Zach Cunningham. Here's Zach Cunningham shouting out the great fans of Houston.
Thank you for your continued support. I've always had my back since I've gotten here. I continue to see that, you know, with the fans. And I feel like we have the best fans in the NFL. So I hope that I can show you that I'm worth what they gave me. I'm going to continue to go ball out for the Sixers.
Look, the guy earned it. The guy deserves it. I feel like, you know, had he hit the market, he would have, unlike McKinney, he would have been paid over the top type money. So he's one that I've liked from the time he was in Vanderbilt. When they drafted him, I was excited about him. He's proved everyone right that thought he was going to be a big time player. And I still think he's going to get better. I mean, this was a good contract. They're paying a lot of money for linebackers, but for Zach Cunningham alone, it was a really good contract.
Here's more from Zach Cunningham talking about Bernardrick McKinney. I don't think Bernardrick McKinney gets enough credit for how much easier he makes Zach Cunningham's job. He's soaking up the blocks. He's allowing Cunningham to go. John Lopez's favorite term, sideline to sideline.
Yeah.
Here's Zach Cunningham talking about how much B-Mac, number 55, means to him.
Oh, yeah, definitely got a lot of confidence. Each year we've gotten a lot better, both of us as individuals and as a duo. We've been able to grow that since I got here, and you know, basically feed off each other's energy, you know, so that we don't even have to tell each other, we don't have to actually say anything, that we both just have, you know, that know what each other's thinking type deal.
Kansas City gives extensions to Brett Veach and Andy Reid. They're going to be with the team through 2025. We'll talk about how that might increase the pressure of Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, or it could decrease the pressure. Leonard Fournette still on the market. Might not get claimed today. We don't know when he was officially put on waivers. Teams have 24 hours to put in their claim. He could just be a straight-up free agent today during Ron and Clint's show. So keep an eye on that. Also in the NFL, Josh Gordon, he sold his Super Bowl ring. $138,000 at an auction of sports memorabilia. Josh Gordon no longer has a Super Bowl ring. He was suspended when he was with the Patriots when they won it a couple years ago. And now he doesn't even have the ring. He sold the ring.
I'm not even going to bash him for this. I'm really not. A lot of times players will tell you when they're injured or they're inactive and a team plays, they don't even feel like they're part of it. I remember, you know, the great Dan Pastorini when he broke his shoulder and he was in Oakland and Plunkett took over and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. He said he didn't even want to be in the stadium, you know, because he was hurt. He wasn't a part of the team. He knew he was going to be out. So I'm not going to bash Josh. There's a lot to bash Josh Gordon about, but not on this.
Lamar Miller activated from the PUP list. He will be ready to go for the New England Patriots. Logan Ryan, good DB on the market, signs a one-year deal. 7.5 with some incentives with the New York Giants. Speaking of corners, Rams cornerback Jalen Ramsey and the team nowhere close to a deal. You want to talk about negotiations that could get a little bit chippy. Derwin James, this is a sad one. Derwin James of the Los Angeles Chargers, not good news. Here's Ian Rapoport with the news.
Yeah, one of the most exciting stars in all of the NFL and a potential Defensive Player of the Year candidate any year he steps on the field. Derwin James is out for the season. Sources say he suffered a meniscus injury a couple days ago in practice and a devastating blow. They do have some backups, including Nasir Adderley, who they drafted in the second round, could potentially add a veteran presence there. But for real, hard to make up for the loss of Derwin James in LA.
That's a big one. I mean, that's a big one. He's going to be out 6 to 8 months. So don't expect to see him anytime soon, that's for sure.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, let's send our condolences out to the former Texans quarterback. His mom passed away Saturday. He'd recently left training camp to spend some final moments with her. So shout out to former Texans quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. Rockets versus Thunder last night, game six. Rockets fall 104-100. The Lakers are waiting. LeBron James is basically just resting, anticipating the winner of this series.
There he is.
Story of this one was the fourth quarter. 15 points in the fourth for Chris Paul on 5 of 7 shooting, 3 of 3 from three-point land. Harden and Westbrook just 10 points on 3 of 11, 1 for 3 from three-point land. Chris Paul gets the last laugh. Ryan Rocket of the Gems and Juice podcast with Figgy Fig, he always keeps it real. He's one of the biggest Rockets fans you'll ever find. But he tweeted out during this game, quote, "Can't even lie. Westbrook doing everything Rockets fans used to kill him for at the end of that game is kind of funny."
I mean, game five, he had 0 turnovers. And last night, he had 7. So
it's not good.
There's your answer right there.
It's not good. It's definitely not good. Let's go to the phone line, 713-572-4610. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, you're on In the Loop.
What's going on, gentlemen? First of all, thank y'all for taking the call, and I love what you guys do. So we all know that James Harden does not want the Rock in crucial moments. It's been proven time and time again. Again, y'all read the stats already on that, and we know that he's the worst with it. You got Westbrook in dying hopes that he would, you know, at least come in and offer that helping hand to James Harden, but obviously he pooped the bed last night. We can say that he's trying to shake the rust off and all this other stuff, but whenever you are a superstar and you are being called upon, it is on you to answer the call. If you don't answer the call, you're not a superstar to me. Yes, he does have superstar abilities, but they let the ball slip through their hands too many times for me to call him a superstar.
Oh, wow.
That's
harsh.
Well, I think, obviously, Harden, in terms of what his production is, he's a superstar, he's a Hall of Famer. But I hear where Anthony's coming from, because that stat I gave earlier that just blew me away. If you didn't hear it, James Harden is the worst shooter in the final minute of NBA games for the tie or the win since 1997. That is documented on Basketball Reference. Here's the thing that ties in with what Anthony's talking about. He's taken 17 shots. He's 2 for 17 in the final minute, game tying or game winning shots since 1997. You know who's sixth on that list of worst percentage? But there's a key number here. Kobe Bryant. It's James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Chauncey Billups, Paul Pierce, somebody else, and Kobe Bryant. But the difference is, in the final minutes of games, Kobe Bryant took 54. James Harden has taken 17 shots in the final minute for the win or the tie. You know, Kobe's percentage is the sixth worst in that span, but he's taken 54 shots. He wants the ball in his hands. He gets the ball. He says, "I got you guys. I'm going to win us or tie us a game here." And that's the difference. He's not afraid to grab – he wasn't afraid, RIP, to grab the ball and take the shot in the last minute. James Harden, since he's been in the league, has only taken 17.
Don't think Eric Gordon's getting a free pass. I know Sean Pendergast can't stand Eric Gordon. My gosh, I'm going to talk about getting
I was
angry.
Thinking about Eric Gordon in the shower last night.
I was not. I can promise you that. He's lost. I just don't enjoy watching him play. I do not enjoy watching Eric Gordon play basketball. He whines way too much for what he is.
He whines like he's LeBron.
Tim Duncan. He whines like Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
But he's not Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
It drives me absolutely crazy. Here was Chris Paul after the game, and I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. This was a shot at James Harden. You can say I'm reading into it, but I'm telling you right now, this was a shot at James Harden. Didn't touch the ball the final three possessions. Chris Paul outscores Westbrook and Harden 15-10. Chris Paul after the game on TNT.
You know, when it gets to clutch time, fourth quarter, some people built for it. Some people shy away from it. Some people built for it, man, and we're going to keep hooping.
Okay.
Man.
There we go. That's a shot. Now, what about game seven, Chris Paul? You got that scary look in your eyes. I know Rockets fans were watching this interview saying, uh-oh, Look at those eyes. What about Game 7 tomorrow night, CP3?
All right, you got less than 48 hours. A Game 7 against your former
team. Ain't nothing like it. No matter who it's against, it's a Game 7. You know what I mean? I just want my guys to know that, you know, we gave ourselves a chance. You know, you saying we got a chance? We got a chance. So we're going to keep fighting.
Crazy thing about this, when Chris Paul was traded to Oklahoma City, I think there was a notion in Houston, there was a notion around the NBA, oh my gosh, is he even going to play this year? I mean, are they going to trade him to Miami? What are they going to do? Chris Paul in Oklahoma City, they're not even trying to win. Paul George just went to the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
What a joke. Chris Paul's broken. He can't even stay healthy. He's going to Oklahoma City, and I mean, I think we probably felt that way as well. But here he is, Game 7, on a team of outcasts, a team of guys that have been slept on throughout their career. A lot of them have been on multiple teams, and they're scratching, they're clawing with two of the superstars of the NBA. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, we know that these guys are stars when it comes to the NBA. Oklahoma City has Chris Paul and a bunch of outcasts. Chris Paul, what about your squad going against your former squad in Game 7 tomorrow night?
As far as our team, this is who we are. You know what I mean? We built for stuff like this. A lot of guys on our team been, you know, pushed out, traded or whatnot, but we just stick together and we keep fighting.
Okay.
It's a hell of a story, man.
They're playing.
I mean, it's a hell of a story.
I hate this cliche. They really are playing with house money.
Oh, absolutely.
They are 100,000% playing
for
with
the
house
last
money.
Month, you know, since the bubble opened up again.
If you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, you can applaud this team's efforts no matter what happens tomorrow night. 100% house money, and I hate that line, but that is exactly what they're playing with.
I mean, they and Chris Paul is obviously just, you know, at the heart of it. I mean, he's carrying this team, you know, running into the locker room. I was watching some videos this morning, and he was just like, guys, he was talking to his guys. All we wanted was a chance. We got that chance. All we wanted, he said it like five times. All we wanted was a chance. We got that chance. You can say what you will, and I've been talking about how every winner of these games has just had better effort, and clearly that was Oklahoma City last night. Well, now it's just like, I mean, you know, one game for everything. Chris Paul, you're not going to have to worry about effort with Chris Paul.
Here's Russell Westbrook. So Chris Paul just got that fire. What about Russell Westbrook? How you doing, man?
Hey, Russ. You talked about rhythm and timing. How far along do you feel you are since returning to quad injury?
What do you mean?
Like, how far do you think you're at? 50%, 75% in terms of conditioning and, you know, your health?
I don't know, man.
Mark Medina.
Here we go.
I don't know, man.
Here's the answer.
Well, D'Antoni did say that he was still just trying to work him back in, and he was putting on a 25 to 30 minute limit or whatever.
All right. We'll see what happens. Game 7 tomorrow, 8 o'clock. So one guy that got away, Chris Paul, is kind of haunting his former team, Gerrit Cole. My goodness. Did you know that Gerrit Cole would have the fourth best ERA right now on the Houston Astros? Zach Greinke has a better ERA. Framber Valdez has a better ERA. Christian Javier has a better ERA. Another rough outing yesterday for Gerrit Cole. He allowed five runs in his previous starts.
Yeah.
And 20 of the runs he has allowed, 16 of them have come via home runs. Tampa Bay yesterday, four runs on
like
eight
most
hits
of them were yesterday.
Over five innings. Gerrit Cole, not only is he pitching bad, you want to talk about someone sounding pitiful and pathetic?
It sounded like he was going to cry.
He sounds pitiful and pathetic. First, here's Gerrit Cole talking about his bad outing yesterday where he continued to let people just drop bombs on him.
I feel really good today. So
did you?
That's part of the reason why is even more undesirable, I guess. I like the adjustment is either to throw a different pitch or, like, you know, move the sights or just I guess just be better. I mean, you know, trying to throw a fastball away, you miss a couple inches off the plate. By and large, you executed a fastball away, but the bottom line is you do that four times, the guy's on first base. So there's got to be an adjustment at some point. I think mechanically it was as effortless as it's been this year so far. So, you know, that's part of one of the things that Aaron said that he was encouraged about. And the same with Matt, you know, just how easy and fluid the ball was coming out. Just got to command the zone better, command the leverage better.
He's all he's saying right there is one of my pet peeves.
He's broken.
I made two mistakes. No, you didn't.
He's broken.
Every pitcher makes multiple mistakes, probably multiple mistakes every inning.
He sounds pathetic.
That they get away with.
I love this.
He made a ton of mistakes.
It sounds like a joke.
You know, in 2018, I think in 33 starts with the Astros, he gave up 19 home runs. In 8 starts this year, he's given up 12.
But
broken.
There's more. Because apparently Gerrit Cole, and this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy. Gerrit Cole is insinuating. The patheticness has not started. You're about to see something more pathetic than you just heard, or hear something more pathetic than you just heard. He's All insinuating right. that people are sign stealing or no, they know what's coming. Here's more from pathetic pinstripe Gerrit Cole.
I mean, the home runs, the doubles, it's just, you know, whenever I'm over the plate, the hitter's very certain of what's coming, and whether that's an approach or, you know, trying to get an edge with a tip, or whether it's just, you know, it's a good swing on a good pitch and maybe some bad luck, maybe a combination of all three. I haven't really put my thumb on it, but I'm certainly aware of it and certainly trying to get ahead of it.
And just to make sure, you don't think you're tipping anything, are you?
I think we all pretty much tip pretty much every game in one way or another. So, you know, guys, you know, but I mean, James, how many pitches a game? I don't know. You know, some games it may be somebody, you know, the other team has an edge, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitches. Some days it might be more. You know, there are some hitters look for it. Some hitters don't. I mean, I think the point is there's several different factors that are contributing to the certainty with which guys are getting their swings off in certain counts. We're I'm looking to address that.
Okay.
Is he insinuating anything?
Pretty pitiful.
Where did he play last year?
He played in Houston. Mm. Now let's hear the manager of the Yankees. Because a lot of times whenever someone's struggling, you hear the manager and he's got confidence in his guy. And I mean, this is the highest paid pitcher in the history of baseball. Surely Aaron Boone isn't going to sound as pitiful as Gerrit Cole just did.
Look, it's a little surprising. I think that'll, as we go here, I think hopefully that continues to come down as he just continues to execute a little bit better. You know, but I also think, you know, anytime you're going up against an ace like Gerrit, you know,
what?
From a game planning standpoint, you know, I think guys sell out for some things a little differently than they normally would. And sometimes those mistakes can turn into slug. So I think he's been bitten by that, obviously, a little bit here in a few outings. But
he's
I don't
an
expect
ace.
It to become a
So
trend.
They're trying too hard.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
They're trying there's so much harder Yankee against Gerrit Cole. You Yankee fans, I tell you what. The last time they won a World Series was the first year that new stadium opened up.
Yeah.
That was their 1995 Cowboys Super Bowl. They've been a pitiful, awful, hanging on the past.
Why do you
mess.
Keep bringing up the Yankees?
Because y'all sicken the crap out of me. Gerrit Cole sounds like a schmuck. Aaron Boone sounds like a schmuck. Listen to Nick Turturro, that pathetic-ass super fan. He sounds like a schmuck. To y'all are pathetic, Yankees.
Pitching in New York. It's not like pitching in Pittsburgh. It's not like pitching in Houston. Pitching for the Yankees, more pressure. Come on, Cole. A lot of money.
All right.
A lot of money.
That's a lot of pressure. So the pressure's going to decrease when fans start coming in and he has to face the New York media. Just pitiful. Broken Gerrit Cole. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Gerrit Cole doesn't seem like he can handle the New York pressure. What other people need to rise above pressure? We got a game 7 tomorrow. We got a football game in 9 days. Who's under the most pressure and who do we have the most confidence can rise above it? Business picking up next.
The Yankees lose in 2017.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.